Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
How do you break out of a family like this? I mean, if let's just say that Wendy knew something was going on and she's lying in bed at night, staring at the ceiling, thinking to herself, I don't want this for the rest of my life. I don't want to be under this thumb. How does a person break out of this? Because I bet you we've got some viewers and listeners who are thinking to themselves, I've got a domineering family and I've wanted to get out and I don't know how to do this because it's a process. You don't just walk away.
No, that process of individuating from your family can take years. It can take decades. And you know what people often do? They move across country. I mean, they just, I think that's one of the healthiest steps is put some geographical distance and start questioning. I mean, that's a lot of thing that people come to therapy from enmeshed families and they want to process, you know, my parents are driving me crazy. They're trying to control my life. I'm feeling increasingly uncomfortable with that. And you encourage them, you know, as a clinician to define, I mean, it doesn't mean they always have to do a complete cutoff, but you define your boundaries and where you end and where they begin and how you separate that out.
How much of this do you think was, I mean, I know Wendy was telling mom, you know, we can't move because, you know, and she's using the excuse of, well, you know, their father is here. He doesn't want to move. How much of that do you think was Wendy trying to separate herself from mom and mom not wanting to remotely accept that as the reason that Wendy wants to separate? Wendy's okay with being a divorced woman over here and raising her kids away from mom, but she's too afraid to say that out loud to mom. And mom just operates under the guise of, well, of course she wants to be by me because who wouldn't want to be by me? I'm Donna Adelson, the most wonderful woman in the world.
Yeah, that's a really good guess, is that that was a part of it. And that may not have been very conscious in her mind that that's what she needed to do. But one part of her was pulling in that direction. But when push comes to shove and Donna just exerts control, and there's always this fear of what is she going to do? Is she going to get hysterical? That's, I think, when you see the person sucked back in. It takes some time and energy to do that kind of separation. A lot of people in their 40s and 50s, you know, they're not even ready in their 20s and 30s to make that separation happen.
Yeah, then you finally realize it's like, oh, they've caused me all this shit, and now they're getting really old. And I'm next to get really old, and they've ruined most of my life with their shit. So how about I stop having my life ruined by somebody else's shit?
Yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately, that's the realization many people make way too late. Here's Wendy about relocating. This, again, is from the trial of Charlie Adelson. On that very topic, here's what she had to say at that point in time.
Your family had your ex-husband killed to try to help you, didn't they?
No, that's completely untrue.
And back to the divorce, the petition where Danny is responding to your petition for the motion to relocate. Are you familiar with that filing, or do you need to take a look at it?
I need to take a look at it.
All right. It's going to be page 79 through 101. And this is back to our exhibit 56. And again, that was the filing begins on page 79. I'm specifically interested in 82. And in this filing, doesn't Mr. Markell say, quote, the husband affirmatively alleges that the wife helped herself to non-marital assets, including money and stocks owned prior to marriage, as well as numerous personal non-marital belongings of the husband, such as luggage, bicycle, tennis racket, and family heirlooms. The wife has refused to return these items or to allow the husband into her home to see what other personal belongings were taken without his permission or acquiescence. So my point is, he's accusing you of theft in this paragraph.
Those are the words that are here, yes.
Yeah, and he's very adamantly objecting to your relocation, right? On page 82, it says the sole stated reason the wife seeks to relocate is so that she can be closer to her parents. Was being near your parents the sole reason that you wanted to relocate?
No.
It wasn't the sole reason stated in your petition?
It wasn't the sole reason stated in my petition, and it wasn't the sole reason that he and I talked about before I filed the motion to relocate.
Why was he so adamant and so confident that this was the real reason you wanted to be down there?
I think there's a lot of things in these pleadings that are not true. So just because it says something doesn't make it true.
Just because I said something doesn't make it true. Oh, the dynamics in which these people operate, and then expect everybody. Oh, well, this you jumped through a ring of fire over here. No, you didn't. Oh, you said this, but no, you didn't. And everyone just is supposed to go along with it. And then when you point out the insanity, you point out to the narcissist, hey, there's a reason I'm reacting this way because you've been treating me this way. You are now the wrong person for reacting this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that jumps out at me about all the things that she's accused of taking is standard ugly divorce stuff where people make accusations about who took what. And I mean, custody of the dog. I mean, you know, people fight about just basically everything. So. Yeah.
There's so many things. I mean, from a psychological standpoint, how do families create their own secret, you know, dialects to talk about these sort of terrible things? And what should a toll does it take away? Or does it take to always speak in half sentences, never directly, always kind of hiding something, which it kind of feels like the Adelsons are always doing in their own code?
An interesting family culture, right? That's based upon an alternate view of reality, where, you know, kids are raised in this style of family. And so they don't realize how odd it is. The rest of us can look at it and say, this is different. Well, again, it feels like a crime family where there are euphemisms for everything and half truths.
Do you think, I mean, that's pure speculation, and obviously we should say again, Wendy has never been charged with anything. She's innocent until proven guilty. Not even that, because she's never been charged. With where things are at right now, do you think 11 years after this, do you think Wendy is understanding more of that about her family? Obviously, we know that she wasn't in communication with mom since her arrest. Seems that she's kind of been doing things a bit on her own. That's a hard realization to make, I would think, not only for Wendy, but anybody in that sort of a situation.
Yeah, I would guess that she has had a lot of insight develop over these years. And I mean, she's obviously not stupid. Yeah. She may have been deluded and biased and particularly, you know, conflicted, but she's got to be waking up. And I think cutting off contact with mom, you know, at mom's arrest was the right thing to do.
Cutting off contact is one thing, but repeating the behavior is another.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult, and I, again, pure speculation, I have no idea what it's like living in the world of Wendy Adelson or being her children. They're teenagers now. But clearly, they drew a lot of lines against their father's family and said all sorts of horrible stuff that's documented. Literally, you know, Donna joking about dressing the kids up as Hitler Youth. These are just the things we hear about.
Yeah.
I mean, God knows what else was going on behind the scenes or in the world of Wendy over these last 11 years. Look, Donna's been locked away for a while. Charlie's been away for a while. There's been a lot of issues going on here. There could have been more time to reunite that family or correct anything in those kids' brains of, you know, grandma said some bad things to you. This was not right.
Yeah.
These grandparents over here do love you and work on that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it, I don't know that it has been done or is something that ever ran through the pea-sized brain of Wendy Adelson that it should be done for the good of her children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be wonderful for these kids to still have a sense of normalcy in their lives, to have grandparents that are, you know, more the classic way grandparents are supposed to be. And it would be wonderful if that would be a hurdle that, you know, she could make and do the right thing.
How do you do that though with the grandkids now? I mean, when you've literally raised them their whole life, and I don't know how bad they thought, you know, the Markells were. We don't know the answer to that,
yeah.
But obviously the incendiary things that the Adelsons were saying, you know, not directly to the children when they were young. God knows what they said as they got older. I mean, how do you go back then on that after all these years of, hey, by the way, you know, everything we told you about these people is a complete lie. Go spend some time. I mean, how do you walk that back?
Yeah, that would be quite a difficult process. And at this age, you know, being teenagers, they're going to have their own strong feelings about the whole thing. And it wouldn't surprise me if they've had so much trauma over all of this that they're trying to differentiate and say, I really just don't feel safe with anybody in my family. And I, you know, just don't feel bonded and connected with them. That wouldn't surprise me.
No. These kids are going to need therapy for the rest of their lives, don't you think? I mean, the trauma that they've been through.
I would think at different, maybe not weekly forever, you know, but definitely a lot of support. And a lot of times people need therapy at developmental transitions, you know, so they get therapy as little kids, and then they may come back, take a break, and may come back as teenagers when they're college age and trying to sort out the family history. Maybe they've changed their names at that point, you know, which would be a healthy thing to do. So yeah, probably throughout life, having periodic support from somebody would be a good thing.
So it's not just that they need to change their identity. They need to find their identity outside of this family.
Yes, very much. And that is a lifelong process. I have a friend who came from not a murder family, but a very, very enmeshed toxic family. And at 50, you know, he had been struggling with trying to separate from them for years, block them on his phone. And then they would call him at work and try to pull him into family drama. And he eventually completely changed his name just to get a separate, you know, moved across country, changed his name. And he feels so much better after doing that. It's like reauthoring your life and reinventing yourself.
Yeah. It's always funny when people do that and they take the agency and say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to go do my thing. Because then internally it's like, oh, they're just the black sheep. They're just bad. They don't get us. They don't, you know, it's this or that. It's like, no, they just got sick of your bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of self-reflection that comes back after someone does that and goes, maybe it's us.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, so if she knew, let's play this. If she knew, and it's a big if, you know, Wendy's lived nearly 11 years walking a tightrope. I mean, publicly, she's a law professor, a mom raising two kids. Privately, in this scenario, she'd be carrying knowledge that her family orchestrated her husband's murder. I mean, that's two selves to maintain, two pretty big diametrically opposed things. And every courtroom appearance, you know, risks tearing them apart. I mean, what does it do to a psyche to split yourself? I mean, it really is. This is splitting yourself into two people, the polished professional everyone sees and the keeper of the family's darkest secrets. And how long before that mask slips?
People have an amazing ability to compartmentalize. You know, we see that with serial killers who, you know, can present this facade to the world and yet carry the darkest of human behavior inside of them. So can people split pretty effectively? Yes, but sometimes they develop cracks and live with a tremendous amount of anxiety. And so I would guess this has been a lot of anxiety for her.
Do you think Wendy's book was part of the splitting? Her novel, the This Is Our Story, it was written before the murder. Prosecutors argue its plot lines kind of echoed her real struggle. So that's why I'm wondering if it was her kind of calling out for help in her own way without even realizing it, of being in that sort of enmeshed, controlling family without realizing, you know, how bad it's about to get, because this was written again before the murders. Okay. That in the book, there's a domineering Jewish mother, custody battles, a thinly veiled, a lot of parallels in here. The judge ruled they could ask her about it if she testified, not as proof of guilt, but as kind of insight of the mindset. I mean, if Wendy knew, could writing that book have been kind of her own subconscious confession of her involvement with that family, or not even involvement in the murder, but of being almost trapped? Yeah. And maybe an admission of being trapped in that family, yeah, and letting her thoughts out in ways that she couldn't say in real life through these characters that just seemed to really mimic her own reality.
So, so true. And you know, I think most fiction writers are leaking their own internal stuff. They're writing about their past. I mean, gosh, we know Stephen King, it's been written about, had quite a trauma history growing up. And what are his books about? Scary, traumatic monsters and things. Yeah. And he's one example that's often used. But I've been toying with a novel for a couple of years. I haven't had time to finish it. Maybe someday when I get done writing about mass killers and all the, all the social problems we're having. But it was funny to me as I started plotting out. It's a suspense novel, of course, and it was in a town in California, very much started to look very much like my town. And as I was reading over recently what I had written, about 10,000 words, I go, wow, this character, even though the external details are different, she sure had a lot of my same stresses going on at the time. So I think that is a normal thing. We project what we know when we're writing fiction. That's how you try to make it believable. You write what you know. Yeah. And fiction authors are often disguising the externals of the story, but the internal processes are projection and leaking out.
Yeah. I mean, the echoes end up being very similar to life. And we see it in really any creative process. And if you're writing music, if you're writing just books, stories, whatever it may be, and I'm going, well, that's interesting. I mean, and that's, I wonder that about Wendy, of her self-awareness in any of that book process of, did she realize just how much these things parallel her life, or is she not aware of that because she's too close to the fire?
She may have been partially aware, or she may have gone to a writing class somewhere where they said, write what you know, go ahead and use your family as creative material. And so she may have had, I would guess, some partial awareness, but maybe not realized everything that she was leaking out.
Let's talk about the mental again. If we're on this area of, if she knew, again, if, after Dan's death, I mean, Wendy eventually got exactly what she wanted, a life in Miami, away from her ex, raising the kids without interference. If she knew, she lived in the benefits of that crime daily. Still does.
How do people convince themselves they're still good, even innocent, while enjoying the rewards of the violence that was carried out for them? I mean, what kind of mental gymnastics allow you to live comfortably in that kind of a contradiction, if that's what's going on?
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to know, was she really able to compartmentalize that well, or did she live with this chronic sense of, you know, something, I was a part of something really bad, and always having this sense of hypervigilance, trying to look for, is there going to be a crack in the story here? Is something, am I waiting for a bad surprise about this all the time? And it may have been a bit of both, that at times she was able to put it out of her head and compartmentalize, and at other times it may have leaked out.
Yeah. It's like when you live in the land of crazy for so long, the crazy ends up seeing normal. And
there's
just starting to look at it and going, well, that's really crazy. You're like, what do you mean? Oh, that's been there all the time. You know, like I have a bicycle attached to the side of my house with a stuffed guinea pig on the side. It's always been there. You know, it's just how it is. It's weird things that you're like, well, that's really odd. If it's there all the time, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I do not have a bicycle with a stuffed guinea pig on the side.
I'm writing some things down. Like, wait a minute, I need to ask him about this.
Have to go into my mind and at that moment say, Tony, come up with the two strangest things you can combine at this exact second. And a bicycle and a stuffed guinea pig came to mind. I don't know why.
We've got to analyze that. When you're unconscious, where did that come from?
Well, I was thinking of weird things. So the bicycle came from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Okay.
So I'm thinking weird Pee-wee's Big. I loved that show when I was a kid, or that movie I watched all the time. So weird. There's tons of weird things in there you can grab all sorts of objects from. And guinea pig, I don't know. I never had a guinea pig. I never wanted a guinea pig. I never liked guinea pigs. Nothing against the guinea pig community. I've just never been a fan.
They're very sweet, but they don't live very long. So they're very attached because they're lovely little creatures. And then 2 to 4 years later, they're gone.
I had a cousin who had a guinea pig, and we would sometimes go over there and like take care of it if they were out of town or something. And that little fucker always bit. So
well, there you go. There's
maybe that's the trauma.
Siobhan, there it is. I think
there it is.
It.
Yeah.
I am healed.
Free from the guinea pig trauma of childhood. Damn. We did taxidermy it.
Oh, we can work on that some more if you need some techniques. If you start dreaming about trauma dreams about guinea pigs. Yeah.
Somehow we've had so many weird intersections of animals this week on our programs. I don't know where to begin. Todd knows about that. We were talking about some weird stuff on the Ghost Story Show the other day, too. With it, it's like, I don't know. The cat prostitution ring was somehow brought up into the program. And I don't,
Is this the way I can make money? I've got two cats. Talk to me.
No, Jesus Christ.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pi is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30 days. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.